The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Friday, March 29th, 2024. Happy to take your calls at 770-563-3770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Read them all. Try to answer as many as I can. Don't take it personally. I'm just one guy doing everything. You know, that's the way the modern workplace is these days. We all know that, right? Anybody that, you know, it's kind of reminding me that the United States is turning into France. No, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not talking about, well, we do like cheese. And we do have, of course, you know the Rogue Valley cheesemakers and things like that. It's all fine. But, you know, cheese-eating surrender monkeys, right? That's the joke about France, right? Although I have to tell you, the French Resistance, those people were pretty, pretty intense, all right? But be that as it may, that you can see a time coming in which we're very much like France. And when I say we're like France or turning into France, I remember going to France. This is back 2007 that Linda and I went and visited Paris. And we were there for about a week. It was a really, really fun vacation. It really was. Cost a lot of money, too, because of the exchange rate at that time. And absolutely everything was very expensive. And one of the best things that ever happened for us was that there was actually a McDonald's in Paris. Because, you know, if you had to go to a cafe for absolutely everything in Paris, you just would have been absolutely broke. You just couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford to do it at that point. So we went to the cafes too. But still, we would go to McDonald's also. Yeah. And of course, McDonald's there was a little bit different than McDonald's here. McDonald's there was like everything was very French and they put it all into very nice, neat bags and boxes and stuff. You know, the French are very, very big on their food thing. That's not the main point. But what was really interesting to notice is how it is so difficult and so expensive to hire people in France and in Paris that you'll have maybe one person where you used to have two people doing it, and the one person that's there is working his or her butt off. That's what we observed in France. You would go into a cafe, and you would think, boy, they really need to have two people. But there'd be one person that was doing everything. And I remember we would go to this La Patisserie, where they would have coffee and bakery goods and things like that. And they had one worker, and she never stopped working the whole. I mean, she's just like going from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another. It's just like, wow, yeah, that's really something. Few people in the stores, but the ones that were working really, really hard. So it's like you were either working and working your tail off, or maybe you were on the dole. I don't know. But I couldn't help but think that that sort of seems to be the design for the United States in some ways, that between minimum wage laws and, you know, employee leave laws and all these various other things, that the people will be working, will be just working their tail off, and everybody else is just freeloading in the back. I don't know, but I wonder about it. But I ended up talking to people, you know, about why it was that way in France. And they said, yeah, it is so expensive to hire someone, and it is so difficult to hire a bad person that you are really, really careful about who you do hire. And the ones that do get hired are the workers. And everybody else, the drones. Probably the no-go zones of Paris. By the way, Père Lachaise, that famous, cemetery. That section, ooh, that's the one that has Jim Morris's grave. We saw Jim Morris into the Doors' grave. Well, his alleged grave, you know, that kind of thing. I know there were rumors about him living out in Jackson County someplace, right, years ago. But in all seriousness, you go there, it's like a Muslim area. Boy, you could feel the seething disgust at we tourists that were coming there. You infidel. Yeah, you infidel Americans. You know, that sort of thing. Yikes. But I guess if you're working, you're working your tail off there. And if you're not, well, I guess you're not hit on the dole. And I have a feeling that a lot of the infidel haters were on the dole there. Yeah, I hope that's not where we're going. But It's got a strange feeling. You know, the more that the state of Oregon piles on workers and piles on employers, the more requirements, both from the Fed and the state level, the less incentive there is to hire. And then people are wondering, why are they replacing everything with artificial intelligence? Maybe that's part of the plan. I don't know. Anyway, just a little random thought spurting out of my non-artificial intelligence brain. 770-563-3770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. It's open phones. I'm always happy to take your call, see what's on your mind. Hopefully not a raving lunatic because it is Good Friday. Good morning. Hi, KMED, KCMD.
Good morning, Bill.
Hi.
It's Steve.
Steve. Not a raving lunatic. All right. I am so glad to start the call off. The calls off without a raving lunatic. Okay? It's good.
Well, you led into this perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much going on in the world, and most of it seems bad. Yesterday, I'd gotten done with my chores that I had to do, and, you know, my wife kind of needs a lot of help, so...
I know you work quite a bit in taking care of her, and God bless you for that, by the way. She's lucky to have you.
Well, you do what you can do. And mm-hmm. So I decided to go down to what used to be the Jackson County Republican committee office, and mm-hmm. I met a fellow there named Jason Ebertson, or Randall Ebertson. I'm sorry, I keep wanting to say Jason.
Yeah, Randall's the chair.
Own guy.
Randall's the chair. The chair of the Jackson County Republican Party.
Yes. You know, everybody who's on here talking about how bad things are, I don't feel like I can support much in the way of national stuff, but I was thinking there should be something that we can do locally. And, you know, here's a guy down there taking the emblem off the door. He said they can't spend $2,000 a month for this office. And after a pretty long conversation, he was painting over the emblem on the wall, and we were discussing the things that he thought were important. And he's got lots of plans, but he's got very few people. So I'm going to throw it out there to your audience that, you know, if you got stuff to complain about, the place that we need to go, and you're talking about it all the time with these ballot measures for five commissioners mm-hmm. and all that, I think supporting our local Republican office is really important. They need to find someplace, or maybe they don't need it. Maybe they can do it all from the website.
Well, you see, there. I don't know if you're familiar. It sounds like you haven't heard about the drama going on with the Jackson County Republican Party. You haven't heard Okay. They have decided, and I'm not sure what the thought process is. They're welcome to come on and talk about it if they want. But they don't want to spend $2,000 a month for the clubhouse because they're spending $5,000 a month on a website. And there have been people yelling about this and saying that it's an interesting time to be doing this, going into an election cycle to shut down that clubhouse. The one thing I was going to mention, though, is that the Jackson County Republican women are keeping that open. They're going to keep that open, at least through this year. So there's a bit of a schism right now in Jackson County Republican Party politics going right now. You have some people that want to take it all online and other people that are saying, hey, we still want a bricks and mortar presentation. One of the challenges I think you have with that downtown one is that it's been vandalized by diverse bumdom, you know, several times over a number of months. You do know that, right?
Either. It's right there on Bear Creek, and mm-hmm. they've had lots of issues. I don't know about the Jackson County Women's Organization.
Well, I was just telling you, I just wanted to make sure you understand the whole thing. They're saying they don't want to pay $2,000 to keep the office open, which is true. But the thing is that there's $5,000 a month for a website. So,
I understand, but they don't have anybody to man the office. They got one guy, pretty much. And the people who've been running the Jackson County Republican Party are mostly older ladies who are wonderful people. I am not saying anything bad about them, but it's just an issue with where, you know, Jason Randall. Excuse mm-hmm. me, I keep wanting to say Jason.
Yeah, I know.
He's one guy. He's unpaid. He's got a job. And you know, he's looking at his time and his resources and the amount of use that office is actually getting.
Well, let's think this through, though. Was it a good idea to shut this down going into the election cycle?
I don't know about that.
Well, I would say no.
I don't care.
What? No, I do care. You see, you should care. You should care. And here's why. The job of the Republican Party in Jackson County and in Josephine County and all the other counties is not to have a clubhouse per se, but to help to do anything possible to help get Republicans elected. And when you're heading into a election cycle, a primary, and then a major one, and we have all these attacks going on, is that the time to shut down your main location? I mean, this is the way the Republican women were looking at this, and they kind of pulled rank, and they took over the lease, and they're going to be keeping it open there. So there is a difference of opinion on how to move forward and actually get Republicans elected right now. If you're going to do it, nothing wrong with having a website. Do you want to have a website and nothing else? Probably not. You know, there's a lot of arguing going on about this right now behind the scenes. Okay.
Randall is down there taking the emblem off the door and painting over the emblem on the wall. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the rest of that, but all I do know is he seems like a really decent guy.
He is a decent guy. I just don't know if it's a good strategy right now. It's like, what are the the thing is, the job is to be able to help Republicans get elected. And when you close the office right now during the election season, it's like, did anybody talk to the candidates about this before going forward? That's all good. So in other words, yes, we should be supporting it. And yes, we need to be doing smart decisions too. Okay.
Well, you sound like you think that that's a bad deal. They don't have much money.
They have $5,000 a month for a website.
Randall is the only one who's actually out there trying to do much.
No, there are other people trying to do things. There are other people trying to do things. I assure you, Steve. Okay?
I haven't heard from one.
Well, maybe you haven't gone and looked for them. Okay?
That's what I did. I went down there and looked.
Okay. Now, remember, the women are taking it over in like a day or two or whatever it is in April. So
where are they going to get their money?
Apparently, they already have it. So you can ask them about it, but it's the Jackson County Republican women. Like I said, there's a real difference of opinion on how to run the Republican Party here. Jackson County Republican women want to keep the bricks and mortar open, and then we'll see where it goes. And Randall and the Jackson County Republican Party faithful, you know, they're kind of saying, well, we're going to go more to a web-based sort of thing, which nothing wrong with having a good web-based thing, but you know, is this the wisest place to try to move it forward? I mean, these are the arguments that people...
Both of them, Bill.
What's that now?
I can support both of them.
Okay, well, no, but you can't pay for both. That's just it. I don't think there's enough cash there to do that. But that's... Hey, I'm glad you called in and brought up the issue. I've kind of stayed away from this, but like I said, the Republican women are telling me, yep, we're going to take this over, and then they're still going to do a website. I don't know. It's interesting. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 626. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Bob Sandin, Medford.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I walk my dog almost every day unless it's raining hard or I'm doing other things. And we walked by the Republican office yesterday. That's part of our normal route.
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken all the Trump posters out, all of the posters off their window. And looks like maybe some of their furniture. So I don't know. You might check with the ladies to see if they're clearing out and going to, you know, redo the storefront or reopen it.
Now, remember, Jackson County Republican Women is a separate organization from the Jackson County Republican Party, JCRP.
Okay, so it's a separate organization.
They are completely separate. We're not talking. Okay. I mean, they're trying to go for the same thing, but okay. The Republican Women. We're thinking that, hey, we didn't think it was a good idea to shut down the bricks and mortar here going into a big election cycle. Of all the times you do it, you don't do it right now. That's what they
all
were
right.
thinking.
Well, you know, my mind's always running and thinking, as you well know from my emails. Mm-hmm. How about they open up a food truck? They're getting more foot traffic. The times that I go down there,
I almost spit out my coffee. You say that. Here we go. The Jackson County Republican Party could partner with Victory Dogs. You know the Victory Dogs guy downtown?
Yeah, he got sick, and I don't know if he's reopened yet or not.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. All right.
They could help him out.
Okay.
And sell hot dogs on a percentage.
Sell hot dogs, and here's a Trump sign, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, either or. But they'll get more foot traffic and more exposure because the Democratic offices were around the corner on 8th Street, little bitty thing next to, I think, Johnny B's.
Yeah.
You know, the old greasy, cool dive bar. And I don't see anybody going in and out of there much either.
No. Well, downtown is having a difficult time because you can't really do anything to homeless because homeless are a far superior form of life than people who actually pay the bills. We know that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's a lot of window damage, as you well can see, just walking around. A lot of garbage, in the storefronts, in the little alcoves, and it has gotten slightly better, but it is not.
All right. Now, before you take off, though, would you like to hear a story that will make you think that, okay, as many challenges as we have in Oregon, especially, in Southwest Oregon, it can be worse? Would you like to hear the update?
Sure.
Okay, great.
In the late great Golden State, it's getting hard to negotiate.
The late great Golden State update. Here's one. Bob, I know you'll enjoy this story, okay? I don't know if you'll enjoy it. But in Wasco, California, a man has been arrested after being suspected of taking the leg of a pedestrian who was struck by an Amtrak train in California and eating it. Yes, I am not kidding you. So officials said the man who allegedly removed evidence from the Amtrak station last Friday was identified as 27-year-old Resendo Tellez. Wonderfully diverse person, I'm sure. And at around 8 in the morning, deputies responded when the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad Police Department to a report of a pedestrian who was struck by a train in Wasco. The deputies said they learned that Tellez allegedly removed evidence, a leg, from the scene. So a crew is laying concrete outside the Amtrak station, and this is a horrifying sight, right? And one of the witnesses said, Jose Ibarra, the witness said, I'm not sure from where, but he walked this way and he was waving this person's leg around and he started chewing on it over there. He was biting it and he was hitting it against the wall and everything. Tellez found and arrested without incident on multiple outstanding warrants and also for taking crime evidence from the scene. So just want to say, in spite of all the issues we were talking about, with, problems with the Republican Party, problems with the state party, all the other issues, the homeless and everything else, at least we don't have anybody walking the streets, grabbing legs and chewing on them. At least not yet. So look at the bright side. Yikes. This is the Bill Myers Show, 630 KMED KCMD.
The promise I made to my grand.
This is the craziest party that could ever be.
And the party's getting crazier all the time. Welcome to the DC Swamp Update. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Great website. A lot of cartoons, analysis. When I say cartoons, it's cartoons with a purpose there, too. Isn't that right, Rick? Welcome back.
Yeah, I hope so. Tony Bronco does a great job. He's a good cartoonist, and we get the cartoons. He sends really interesting process. He sends us some drafts, and then we'll pick one that we think, one or two that we like, and then we'll talk about them. And a lot of times we'll make some tweaks and then hopefully check his spelling. He does a great job. It's just a brilliant guy. I'm able to, what takes me 1,000 words, he does in a picture in like 5 words. So
a great political cartoon with great humor involved. Truth is the humor, of course, is truth only quicker. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
The way they're able to do
it's got to shock the at some level. It's almost against the politically correct world to do a good political cartoon because the purpose is to extend. You have to shock people by going beyond what they. Maybe going to what they're thinking, but not going where anybody else is going to go. And that's a and so a good political cartoon is truly is the ultimate in political incorrectness. And it's because people have to be a little bit offended. At least somebody has to be a little bit offended by it, because if they're not, then you didn't hit the mark.
Yeah, indeed. Now, you live in Maryland, if I recall correctly.
I
is
do.
That true? Okay.
I do.
What's the overall reaction with the latest attack on the infrastructure? And I really do, and I know this is getting a little conspiratorial. I know that sometimes Occam's razor says, you know, a cigar is just a cigar, that sort of thing. But I can't help but think that, you know, 1 minute before, if it had happened 1 minute earlier, the bridge wouldn't have been hit. Had it happened 1 minute later, it wouldn't have been hit. And it just seems like, you know, a really, really odd situation over there. You know, number of people dead. But we're looking at about a $2 billion attack on the economy there, with the collapse of the bridge and moving on. What's the overall thought process there? What are they thinking? What are you hearing?
Well, the first thing is that the police had a minute and a half notice that they had to try to clear the bridge.
Yeah.
And were able to stop most of the traffic from going across it. Within 30 seconds, one side of the entry point of the bridge was the traffic was blocked. Took a little bit longer to the other side. So, you know, lives were saved because of the quick response once the notification that the ship was out of control and a possible danger was put across the police channels. So that's the first thing, is the police were incredibly fast in responding. Most of the dead were construction workers who were on the bridge, because they, you know, they're working, they nobody could get to them. The second response has been more of a, there hasn't been a lot of talk about it being a terrorist attack. And the reason is that it was, people came out like within 30 minutes and said, this is not a terrorist attack. Well,
we don't know that. Nobody knows that.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
I know we don't know that.
Now, I know Laura Logan, former CBS reporter, ends up saying that her intelligence sources are claiming that they look at this as a hackable moment. And what better ship to do it to than one that they had done a little work on? You know, which is quite, and it's true when you think about it. And you get to the point where you start thinking that nothing's a coincidence these days, Rick. You can get that, right?
No, I totally get it. In fact, when this happened in real time, that was my wife's response, was this is a terrorist attack. And it's a, some practical things, the question is about why there wasn't, the ship wasn't, being let out by tugs, so it wouldn't have problems, because the bridge is really, really close to the port, or at least it was. But yeah, the fact of the matter is, we have almost all foreign flagged ships coming into all of our ports. Each of our ports is really one of our biggest points of entry that is most vulnerable. And when we have a run at a $1 trillion trade deficit, we are pretty indebted to the port system. We need the port system to work, for our economy to work. So yeah, attacking the port where most of our automobiles in the world that come into the country come through the Port of Baltimore, it's a pretty significant attack on infrastructure. And, you know, I hadn't heard the stuff about this ship being worked on by the Chinese. But, you know, my thought immediately went to, we don't know who's captaining any of these ships. We don't know who's doing any of that. We don't know whose ships are flagged from, you know, countries that are, that don't have U.S. interests at heart, or might be Islamic countries that that are mad about Israel. I mean, there's lots of possible things. And we've got this going on all over, you know, all the
ports. Yeah, there are a lot of arrows pointed this direction, I guess is what, you know, what we're trying to say. And there's no shortage of that.
I'll just tell you, anytime they get up with 30 minutes afterwards, say it's not a terrorist attack, it tells me that it probably a terrorist attack.
And they don't want to admit this. What they want to do is
they don't want a reaction where it's kind of the 9/11 syndrome, whether there's a terrorist attack. And so we have to deal with it. They're trying to control public reaction and any backlash, because after all, making certain that certain groups aren't held accountable for, mass actions taken under their names, is a pretty big priority of the entire intelligence community, because after all, a backlash against the let's say it was a Muslim attack, and I don't have any evidence of that. Mm-hmm. A backlash against, say, this is all a result of, you know, the attack on Israel, and this is blah blah blah. You can draw a lot of conclusions, and so they're trying to stop that logic tree from going. But you know, the fact of the matter is, for about 3 years, people are a minimum of 3 years. A major artery in the East Coast of the United States has been cut.
Yeah.
And for probably 3 to 6 weeks, the economy is going to suffer about a $8 billion a day hit based upon that port being closed. So because they've got to clear all the bridge debris out of the channel and probably do some dredging to make the channel safe again to transport through.
Yeah. Rick, could we hold this, pause this conversation just for a moment? The Skype's a little iffy this morning. Can I call you back on your cell and then we'll continue? Is that okay with you? All right. We'll be right back with Rick Manning and continuing with the D.C. Swamp update on KMED and KCMD 643.
Access your stored items safe and secure. Storage at Exit 24 has all sizes of units with traditional outdoor access that are brightly lit with wide paved drives. Affordable RV and boat parking is available too. Conveniently located off I-5. Storage at exit24.com.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
At Batteries Plus, we want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV or a motorcycle or a golf cart or a boat? Whatever moves you drives us. Batteries Plus, bringing power to your life. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley boatloads of cash over the years on things you buy and use daily. Get a $100 Cartwright's Market gift card for only $85. Artisan Bakery certificates, normally $25, only $15. American Rancher Garage, $75 certificates, good for any service, only $30. Wayback Burgers, $25 certificate, only $14. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
We switch the D.C. Swamp update to the Swamp cell phone. And Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. Great to have you back there. Let me guess, you also have allergies going on right now with the cherry blossoms.
Yeah, the allergies are in full bloom, and I'm not immune from them.
Yeah, I know. It's a big deal. I know. I remember I've been in D.C. during the springtime. So, you know, back to, so we do suspect then probably a terrorist attack. What it actually is, we don't know. One thing I do want to ask, though, is why did the Biden administration say that we're going to pay for this, that we're going to rebuild and pay for this? This makes no sense. Would this not be an insurable loss? I'm hearing talk about $2 billion in insurable loss with this ship going into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and just $2 billion just for the bridge alone, you know, taking care of that. And that doesn't seem to be something that taxpayers should be picking up, or am I wrong about that?
Well, that points to terrorism, because there's something called terrorism risk insurance.
Oh.
That would be triggered, because I'm assuming that the Port of Baltimore pays for it. And if they went into the terrorism risk insurance fund, which is a federal fund, most big businesses, when they buy insurance over properties that might be in danger of a terrorist attack, have to put money in to their insurance company to be included in a federal fund called it's a terrorism risk insurance fund. So no insurance company goes broke over a terrorist attack. So him saying that that the U.S. government's going to pay for it, does point to terrorism. And the only reason I know this, I worked on getting the Terrorism Risk Insurance Act passed back after 9/11.
Isn't that interesting? Have you noticed, though, that no one's talking about this, though, or very few people have been doing any kind of reporting like this, you know, on it? All we're hearing is
I'm not surprised, because we have kind of a embargo on anything that's actually news.
yeah.
We have to. So it doesn't surprise me. But once again, I don't know what it is. I do know that the only reason the federal government would end up paying for this is, in terms of the bridge replacement, is if it were a terrorist act, and it would go to the Terrorism Risk Insurance Fund.
Okay.
So it's a thing to watch in a year and a half, is when they start doling out money, is where is it coming from? If it's coming from that specific fund. And they'll never tell you that's, you know, we'll have to do some digging. But if it's coming from that fund, it's quite honestly, it's just a dead tell. And they really don't want an insurance company to be investigating risk, because if it's, if the risk was, let's say that a cyber attack occurred on the ship and took out the operational controls.
Which is a absolutely plausible theory. It's a perfectly reasonable thing to happen. Yep.
So if they did a deconstruction of the ship and they found that that's what happened, they would find out pretty rapidly, at which point the insurance company said, we're not liable.
Oh, okay. So when you insure a ship, then you insure against everything except terrorist activity that might have done.
That's the act of war clause.
Okay. Act of war. Interesting. Rick, I appreciate that, because I'm really not hearing much discussion about it right now. When I hear them talking about, the federal government will pay for this, which means we're going to pay for that. To me, that was a tell that something else is going on here, because, obviously you think about the Exxon Valdez, the situation where you have a drunk captain or something like that. Exxon paid a lot, and insurance companies paid a lot of money out of that thing. It wasn't
correct.
It wasn't our responsibility to have taken care of that back then. Okay, all right. Let's set this aside and return to other politics at this point. I noticed that Fox News is reporting that the $25 million that our infirm President Biden ended up taking in yesterday is actually not necessarily a good thing. I was seeing that there was some GOP talking head saying that this is the only way that Joe Biden can raise money. And I'm still thinking, well, he still raised $25 million in New York while President Trump was visiting, awake.
While President Trump is giving the state of New York $175 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so is that kind of a bad sign that Biden's only able to raise money when he goes into, a big, Obama-studded kind of celebrity event, or not? What do you think?
Yeah, he's the first president who's at the start of his own administration. It's it's pretty astonishing. I remember a picture a couple years ago when Barack Obama visited the White House, And all of the top White House staff were all crowded around Barack Obama. And, Biden was standing there on the outside of the circle, literally on the outside of the circle, like the nerd who's trying to get into the circle so people would, you know, so he could participate. And it was pretty devastating. I think it told the whole story that, you know, there's only one rock, you know, there's one rock star and there's one minor star and then there's Biden. Bill Clinton's star has faded dramatically.
And boy, does he look dissipated. Have you noticed that? I mean, not to just focus on someone's, but he looks like a husk of his former self, really.
But, you know, one of the challenges with this is he's always struggled with a little bit with weight. Mm-hmm. And when you get older, your skin is less supple. Mm-hmm. If you do lose weight, it tends to not look that great on you because takes a long time for that to kind of recover. And we remember Bill Clinton is kind of a, you know, not necessarily vibrant, but
he was a vital. Okay. You know what? We remember him as the vital horn dog. Okay.
Right. Exactly. Know? Right.
That's
now, he looks like a sickly old man.
Yeah, I guess so. But still, interesting.
No, he does look dissipated. Mm-hmm. You were right. He looks dissipated, and I'm merely giving you a physiological reason why that may be true other than anything else. But he does. In fact, when he gets up there, you just kind of cringe because he doesn't look anything like the guy who was president of the United States.
What?
And that's what Hillary will do to you.
Yeah. I'm not going to say this. I had a Hillary thought that a comic once had mentioned on the air, but what was it? It was one of those late night comics. It wasn't Jimmy Fallon, but never mind. It held up a picture of Hillary and more or less said, where erections go to die, is what he said.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, it was he used a more crude term.
I understand.
Term. Okay. But I had to laugh. I had to laugh at that. Okay. 652 with Rick Manning. Let me talk about the campaign a little bit, if you don't mind. Let us talk about the campaign.
Sure.
And we have the $175 million bond cut with Trump, and it's is he actually getting stronger the more the attacks come? I mean, at what point do the attacks actually start hurting him? Because now we have I'm speaking of former President Trump, we have the Truth Social, the merger, the value. Is it actually looking pretty good, you think, for the Trump campaign right now? Or not, and, you know, in which bad news is good news, kind of like the Federal Reserve with the stock market, you know.
Well, if the election were held today, he'd win. So you know, yes, that's the answer. All things being fairly counted,
right.
We always have to put that in, but the
and I'm glad you put that caveat in there because I don't really see a lot of the ballot harvesting cheat machine having been vanquished yet, do you? Or not? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, not for lack of trying, but it hasn't been.
Mm-hmm.
We got a good court ruling in Pennsylvania that they have to actually follow their constitution.
Yeah, I was reading that in Daily Torch, by the way. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
So that's an important thing. Having to follow your constitution ought to be one of the things that kind of primary concern.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a battle in that regard. I think the one advantage on it is the Trump campaign is going to wait until after the election to start fighting.
Oh.
And they're not going to. And by having the RNC changeover, I strongly suspect that although Harmeet Dillon is not the RNC chair, I strongly suspect that that she's going to be heavily involved in the legal tactics. Dealing with elections.
And let me tell you, she, as far as I'm concerned, she's an attack dog extraordinaire.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
And the RNC's gotten involved in some cases and have actually doing something with the money, which is a good thing. So there's some players on the field to try to fight this, but, you know, friends of mine like Cleta Mitchell are very concerned about the integrity, you know, what's going to happen in the elections related to various different legal changes, which are creating problems where you get related to stopping the registration and the voting of illegal aliens.
And that is a executive order that President Biden ended up doing. What was this? It's pretty not really well known. 14019. He signed that in March of 2021, basically turning federal agencies into political machines. Right? Isn't that what happened?
Correct. Well, absolutely. And this is and getting getting Congress to get on top of that is pretty amazing that they have it. But yeah, we essentially, the non-political federal workforce, the ones that we can't fire because because they're supposed to be non-political, are all busy registering people to vote, and are responsible for get out the vote operations. So they're funding third-party groups, and the third-party groups are all the lefties. And who comes into contact regularly with the federal government? In a non-adversarial way, well, it's people who are on federal payment programs.
That's right.
And so you sit there and you get a, so if you're, I'll just give you an example because of COVID, there's a huge increase in the number of people on Medicaid because there was an effort to sign them up when everybody's going and getting shots and they're going to the doctor, for COVID and all that. And every time they had a touch with the medical system, they were encouraged to sign up for Medicaid. Well, when you sign up for Medicaid, you get encouraged then to register to vote.
And of course, you're already on welfare and you're being signed up. You're essentially being on welfare and you're being encouraged to sign up to vote. And who are you more likely, not always, but who are you more likely to be supporting?
Well, it's a pretty easy argument because if you know how somebody got into the system, mm-hmm. As a voter, then you know what you can threaten to take away. Okay. And that's a, and we've looked at the numbers, and this is not an in-depth look, but it's a, it's kind of a cursory going through and say how many new people are on Medicaid and how many people were. Oh, by the way, we also extended Medicaid so you didn't have to get off of it until very recently, until April of last year. So if you had a job, you applied when you didn't have a job because there's 2 months, dip. And so you applied, you got it. And then the law made it so you didn't have to get off, because of the extraordinary circumstances. And we didn't get them off until April of last year. We had about 7 million people, more people on Medicaid, than would have been normally. And we happen to see a jump in voter registration that was very similar. So it's a, just that jump of going from about 75% usage to much higher usage.
Yeah, see, and these are the kind of stories, though, which make me wonder, okay, we hear these polls saying Trump's up, and I'm always on the lookout for, okay, where's the Democrat Lucy holding the political football ready to snatch it away in some form, right?
Well, they know who, what they know? They know who's on government assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to translate that information into they're going to take away your government assistance if you don't do this. And it's a, and given the fact that the federal workers who are going to lose their jobs if we actually cut the size and scope of government are going to be the ones, they're pretty motivated to make sure we don't win.
Yeah.
You have a federal work, you have a federal workforce that's 80% Democrat from most things we see. And you've got a, it's a pretty big motivation. Now, most of the touches, the truth is most of the touches, with Medicaid and Medicare patients are done by third party groups, not done by the actual bureaucrats. So you have a, for those on Medicare, you probably get phone calls four times a day trying to sell you back braces and stuff from third-party groups, which is something else that has to be stopped. But besides that, so your third-party providers, caregivers, companies are the ones who are under contract to do the outreach. And those workers are it's low bid, and so the ability for them to reach the number of workers, the number of people in a political operation is limited, extremely limited, because they've got like 5,000 patients each. And it's, I'm making that number up, but from friends of mine who work in that, tell me that it's so overstretched that there's no way in heck you could possibly take care of, you know, half the people's needs that you're supposed to. So given that, you know, there may be a flaw in the ointment in that they're NGO, they're people who might have the most contact with the patients, with the clients, are so overwhelmed that there's no way they're going to be able to do anything that's political.
Well, let's hope that it's not much electioneering coming out of the NGOs like that. All right.
I guarantee there will be electioneering come out of the NGOs. Mm-hmm. After all, we're busy electioneering in Israel. So if we're going to, you don't think if our federal government will electioneer in Israel, it won't electioneer here for its own survival?
Yeah, it probably would. Final question I would have for you here. I was also reading this on Daily Torch. I think it was last night that this came out. And this having to do with polling showing that Trump is gaining in young voters, but he's leaking senior citizen support, I thought. And that kind of surprised me. Is this part of that, though? Were you thinking that
there's one poll? Well, there's it might be. I think first of all, I wrote that. I was heavily involved in writing that article,
mm-hmm.
and because we did a piece that showed that talked about the young people, and I said, well, if it's tied 44-44, and he's gaining in young people, blacks and Hispanics, then he must be losing some voters that he used to have, right? It makes sense if it's 44-44 and you've got an increase over here, so you must have been a loss somewhere else. And the loss appeared in the senior category. And quite honestly, while we wrote about it because it was kind of unique, I'm not sure that's occurring to the extent that that poll showed on either side.
Okay.
But in terms of that, I'm going to point to Liz Cheney had a rally yesterday in Iowa. Now, and they've got a picture of the whole convention hall filled up with people. Very impressive look of a number of people who are in there. And assuming it's not an AI picture. But it's a and you know, the claim was, oh, Republicans, you know, not wearing red MAGA hats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Liz Cheney's I don't know who was in attendance, but given the fact that Donald Trump killed his primary opponents in Iowa, it seems to me there's not this mass uprising of Republicans in Iowa against Trump. It was a bunch of Democrats who are being hearing from a Republican what they want to hear. But aside from that, the arguments that she makes are dangerous to Trump. With older voters. And the reason they're dangerous to Trump with older voters is because she's appealing to older voters much more likely to be national security voters than younger voters, for instance. And she appeals on national security concerns. She says things, her theme was, you know, we can survive Biden for another 4 years, but we can't survive Trump.
Oh, in other words, she's really taking the neoconservative, bloodthirsty neocon approach to elections.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's
all right. That's Liz, though.
That is who she is.
Okay.
But the idea, we can't have the first non-constitutional bound president. And the fact she can say that, mm-hmm. in the world that we live in, where her intelligence buddies are violating the First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, 14th Amendment rights, the Fifth Amendment rights of basically half the citizenry. The fact she can sit there with a straight face and talk about a president being unbound to the Constitution is almost beyond my comprehension, and it goes quite well with a woman who clearly buried evidence of the J6 committee. They threw away they not only buried it, they then burned it.
Yeah.
Anything that wasn't included in their report, they essentially burned and made it inaccessible to the next Congress. And she was, by all accounts, she was really the leader of the J6 committee.
If I were to redo the old smear, the National Review, mm-hmm. I remember the National Review cover back shortly after 9/11 when you had a bunch of conservatives that were questioning the Iraq war strategy, right? They were termed unpatriotic conservatives. I'd redo that with Liz Cheney on the front page, but for real, you know, the more I learn.
Well, you know what? That's apparently, and this is something Robert Romano from Office has written about a lot. Apparently, you get impeached by questioning the Ukraine policy. The Ukraine policy is so important to somebody that it's just by virtue of saying, I don't know, Trump said in 2015, 2016, I don't know if we should fight to get Crimea back. The people there seem to like the Russians better than the people who were governing them. And so he said that. And that's about when they launched the FISA probe and they went into the car and they went after Carter Page and all that. And you sit there and you go, wait a second. Since when can a presidential candidate not question a foreign policy decision of the federal government?
Yeah, that involves us and tax money and what we're actually funding.
And it was, all around whether or not we're going to provide Stinger missiles to the Ukrainians or not. And ironically, Trump then provided Stinger missiles to the Ukrainians, which in some respects escalated the threat to Russia. But
he's not a true believer of the blob. That's what it is. He's not a true disciple and believer of the one true faith in Washington, D.C.
Most importantly, not only not a true believer, they don't control him. That's the most important piece of it. And that's dangerous to them. It sounds so paranoid, but if I hadn't gone through the last 8 years, 10 years, I would listen to this. I would say, this is nutty. But the last 10 years have, at some point you have to say, wait a second, some of my assumptions here may not be right. And I have to start thinking about taking a look at what's actually happening and saying, if this is actually happening, big if, but if it is actually happening, then we have a big problem. And all you need to look at is the lawfare against Trump to know, going back to your question, to know that there is a concerted effort by the legal system to take down Trump. And it's no different than the concerted effort amongst Soros secretaries of state to, make sure the vote counting went a certain way. But it is when you look at the cases that are being brought, and by and large, are garbage. It's not, they're really just garbage cases, harassment cases. And you look at the people that are the judges and the prosecutors and you say, wait a second, they're all far left radicals. And you go, wait, what if our system is rigged? And, Donald Trump says that all the time. I've never said that.
But you have to look at how the rigged system is treating it. You have to be real about that.
And so, once again, Donald Trump went to New York City. He went to Long Island. He was at a police officer's funeral. He was killed by somebody who'd been through the system 26 times had been convicted. Killed his cop on a traffic stop, and he spent his time in New York at a cop's funeral. Joe Biden spent his time hanging out with
Barack Obama,
and. Mm-hmm. Some stars who might be stars, but some of them I didn't recognize, but that doesn't mean anything.
I think that pretty much tells you the entire lay of the land at the moment here. Rick?
Go to your legal thing real quick. That was a very smart move by Trump, not just nationally, but he's got to face a jury in New York City in the next month, and he's going to face another New York City jury, and they're going to try to convict him of stuff. And somebody on the jury is going to say, he stood up for the cops. Screw these guys. So that was a very smart legal move by Trump.
All right.
Not just political.
We'll take that. It wasn't just political. Thank you for the analysis, and that's why we go to you every week here, Rick. DailyTorch.com. And a lot of these stories we've been talking about are in there right now. DailyTorch.com. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. Have a great weekend, and thank you so much. We'll catch you next Friday.
Have a happy Easter. Bye-bye.
We will.